So if we know the Lord as such a wonderful, great high priest, then the question, then this, the next point in the outline is, do we follow him? Follow Christ as our great high priest to be transformed and to reach God's goal.
Amen.
Right? And I think one of the things that we've been really focused on is the matter of hearing God speaking, not just in the conference, not just in the weekly church meetings, but do we hear God speaking in our daily life? As we're going through the day, right, in the morning when you're getting the household ready to start the day, or going to work, going to school, so many things in our daily life. The real question is, do we hear him speak in our daily life? Right? We want to know him. We want to be transformed by him. But for that to happen, we need to hear his fresh speaking every day. Not just in the conference. Not just on Sundays. But every day. Right? That's why in Hebrews chapter 1 again, if we go back to Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews 1 verse 1, it says, God, who at various times and various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. Yes, during the time of the age of the old covenant, God did speak in this way. But then, verse 2, it says, has in these last days, we are living in these last days, spoken to us by his Son. Right? So today, God is speaking through his Son. And we all need to ask ourselves, do we hear him speak every day? Right? Last night, one of the points that was brought out is God created us to have free choice. Right? He did not create us to be robots. But he gave us all the ability to choose. So it's not just a question of do we hear God speaking, but do we also choose to follow him? Choose to know him, choose to be transformed by him, and choose to be saved to the uttermost by him. But it begins with God speaking. You know, oftentimes some will say, you know, I don't hear God speak. He's not speaking to me today. Why is it that he doesn't speak? Well, how do you think he speaks? Is it an audible voice, a feeling, or some random events that happen to speak to you in that kind of a way? Right. Well, what we need to realize, his Son today is the very Word of God himself. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word tabernacled among men, dwelt among men. That means if we are not reading his Word today, then we will not hear God speak. Because he has spoken a lot, and it's written in the Holy Bible, in the Holy Scripture. So if we're not reading his Word, how will we hear him speak? So this is why we're always encouraging one another. Get into the Word. If you're new, you just freshly got baptized, be encouraged to begin to read the Word. Read it. And when you come to the Word, you don't just read it like a textbook. Come to the Word in the Spirit. Right? Because We know in 1 John chapter 2, it speaks about we have the holy anointing. Right, if we go to John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, it says, "But the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and he will no need that anyone teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him." Right? The Lord today as the Spirit, as the holy anointing, is dwelling within every one of us. And when he's dwelling in us, he's also the one who teaches us all things. Right? We know in John chapter 14, verse 26, it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." Right? So if we are reading his word, we're eating his word, and it's written into our hearts, then as the Spirit moves within us, he will bring to you the remembrance of the word in the instances or the times throughout your day to remind us, but not just to remind us, but to also supply us so that we could follow him. Right? So it's important that we eat the word. And I think many of us are encouraged always to eat the word. But do we also consider, as we're eating his word, that God is also speaking to us? Right? Oftentimes, do we just eat the word, then close the Bible, and then off to work or school we go? And then we forget. Because I checked the checkbox. I had my morning watch, I had my time with the Lord, and then... and that's it. Is it should be like that? No. The word dwelling in our hearts richly. And if we keep walking, when we walk by the Spirit, he will always bring remembrance back to you of what we ate. And will speak to us in whatever situation that we're in. But then the question is, when he speaks to us, what is our response? Right? Emmanuel, when your dad tells you something of correction, what's your reaction? Huh? It varies. So if you're in a mood to listen, okay, thanks, Dad. But if you're not in the mood to listen, and then you don't do it, right? And this is the question for all of us today. When God speaks to us, what is our response? And this is why in Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, it speaks four times. What did he say? Right? "Today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion as in the day of trial in the wilderness." Right? Four times it was spoken in this way. When God is speaking to us, when God is speaking to us, do we harden our hearts or do we soften our hearts to allow him to work within us, to follow him, to deny our soul life and to say, "Okay, Lord, thank you. I want to follow you, to take the correction, to take the chastening, or to direct my way." Right? This should become very practical in our hearts. Not to harden our hearts. Because this, we have an example. The nation of Israel. What happened to them? Every time God spoke, what did they do? They didn't listen. Because their hearts were hardened. And for that, if you consider the entire first generation of Israelites who were came out of Egypt, only two entered into the promised land. Because the rest of them had an evil heart of unbelief. An evil heart of unbelief. So that means there's an element of faith here. Right? They did not believe God's speaking. And that's why they didn't obey. Right? To obey his word means you believe what he says and you do it. Right? And this is why in Hebrews chapter 4, it's the matter of our attitude, and not just not to harden our hearts in hearing his speak, but in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2, it says, "For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it." Right? When we hear the word, do we also mix it with faith? Right? For you, when we all received the Lord, we heard the word, right? And then we believed, we received the Lord. That was through faith. Right? And everybody stands firm on being saved, on being baptized. But how about bringing us all the way on to perfection, to reach the goal? Do we have that confidence? Are we mixing our faith with the word that we would have the confidence that we can reach the goal to be saved to the uttermost? Right? I was considering with the children of Israel, think about it. They saw so many amazing things that God did to deliver them from Egypt. And God did say he would go before them to drive out all of the enemies in the good land. And yet what happened? Of the 12 spies, only two believed and held confidence, with confidence, the word that the Lord will drive them out. But the other 10 did not. And what is our attitude when it comes to the word? Do we have that same confidence in his word that he will save us to the uttermost? Or do we read the verse? Maybe we'll eat the verse, but then we kind of think, well, I don't know. Or do we hold fast with confidence? Hold fast to the end that he will do it, that he will finish the work in all of us. And this is one thing is very encouraging to practice in this way, to really gain this confidence in his word. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Right? So, mixing faith with the word is needed for us to have confidence that he will deliver us and save us to the uttermost. Right? These days, as we eat the word, and the word dwells in my heart, many times he is bringing to remembrance of what we are eating, what I am eating. And those times are good because it's reminding me to turn to the Lord and to hold fast to him, to do what he needs to do within my heart, within my life, but not just me, but also for the saints, for the church, for the churches, not just in Fountain Valley, but for Toronto, for all the churches around the world. Right? This life within us isn't just something for myself, right? Because we're not talking about just individual priests. We're talking about the priesthood, all of us, right? So this is good to know the Lord in this kind of a way. When we hear his speaking, what's our response to his speaking? Do we obey him? Do we mix the word with faith to believe that he will save us to the uttermost? And in this way, because he is our great high priest, then as we obey his command to practice the priesthood, right? We're talking about following him. Right? If we want to reach this goal to be qualified to become kings and priests, then we need to follow in the example of our Lord, who is our great high priest, as the one who has made it. But he's going to supply us so that we also will make it. And this is why the priesthood then becomes very important in our daily experience with him. Because Christ is the reality of all the offerings, of all the feasts. Many of you have already, on the Lord's Day, are practicing this. This is wonderful. And you can see how the Lord is changing in you and in all the saints here. Then there's also the service within the sanctuary, the showbread, the lampstand, and especially the prayer before the golden incense altar. All of this is God's command for us to follow in his example in the way of the priesthood. Right? So may the Lord really speak to us. May we really hear his speaking, and may we obey and to do it with full assurance of faith that he will finish the work in us. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm not sure what to say. It's a good thing it's not I. Well, Brother John talked about the Word. In the Bible, there are two aspects of the Word. Two words in the Greek talking about a Word. One is logos. Logos is the Word in general, right? What you read in the Bible, it's the Word. But the other word is rhema. It is his speaking to you live. If you have a biography, I can read your biography, right? But it's very different. Sorry. A little bit more. Yeah. Okay. But it's very different when you're talking directly to me. That's the rhema. It's good to read the Word of God, and you get a lot of information. If I ask you, do you know John 3:16? Well, everybody knows John 3:16, right? David, right? What does it say again? For God so loved the world. Well, that's logos. But if it becomes your experience, the Lord speaking to you personally, it is more than just what is written. Yeah. It is God speaking to you directly. Amen. Yeah. Like what John just read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. In the Old Testament days, God spoke through the prophets. But today, God speaks to us through his Son. And where is his Son? Up there? In you. Yes. How often do you speak to Nene when you come home?
As often as possible. Hmm? As often as possible.
How often do you speak to each other? Just by phone? Well, you'll be surprised. I know of a brother Right, Mary, you heard of that brother. He loves the iPhone so much that even if he's upstairs at home, he speaks to his wife through the phone. No, that's really true. That's a true story. Even he told it to us himself. Goodness. Do you speak to your wife like that? Take your iPhone. Right. The Lord dwells in you. Right. Tell me, how did the Lord, or how did Paul the Apostle turn to be a believer? Through Peter's preaching? Oh, okay, John?
No.
James?
No.
I don't think any of the apostles during those days can convince Paul. Mm-hmm. He's a tough nut to crack. He was even persecuting the Christians. He was responsible for the death of Stephen. Stoned to death. And he was on his way to Damascus to persecute the church, the Christian. What happened? The living God, the Lord, appeared to him.
Amen.
And spoke to him just a few words. And he saw a great light. And the first thing he asked, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Jesus, the Lord, whom you persecuted."
Amen.
That was it. That's the most amazing gospel preaching I've ever seen and heard. We try to convince people and say so much, and it seems so difficult to convert anybody. Nobody else could convince Paul or Saul of Tarsus. But the appearing, the living appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ to him, that was what it takes. That's why in Galatians chapter 1, Paul wrote and says, "It pleased God to reveal his Son in me." Many of us Christians, we believe, yes, of course, by faith, it says, not by works, but that's only for salvation. Salvation is free, right? It's a gift of God. Do you have to pay if I give you a gift? Or if you give me a gift, do I have to pay? Oh, how much is that gift? Surely, even if I want to pay, you won't take it. Right?
Yes.
But what about afterwards? The first portion of the Spirit is free. Just like if you buy a car, the first tank is free, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But after that, you need to pay. Every time you fill up your car, you have to pay, right? You remember the 10 virgins? 5 are wise, 5 are foolish. What happened to the foolish ones? They didn't fill up with oil. The oil was not enough. But the wise, they bought the oil every day on time. The Lord will not fill you so that you don't need to be filled again for 1 month. No, no, no. The Lord doesn't operate like that. That's why the lampstand, the priest has to go in every day to fill up fresh oil.
Amen.
Because it's a matter of life. Can you eat one day for the whole month? Why not? Just eat more and just stuff yourself and you can live for 1 month without eating. How about that? No. Why not? Because you're not a car. You're a living person. You need to eat every day, even 3 times a day. To live, you need fresh supply. We need fresh supply of the Holy Spirit every day. What is yesterday is not good for today. You remember the story of manna in the wilderness? What did the Lord tell them to collect manna? Just enough for that day. If you keep it for the next day, what happened? Worms. What? The word of God, the bread from heaven, will breed worms? What does it tell you? You need to eat the word of the Lord, not just to read, but to eat. The word of God is food to us. So if you just read it, after a couple of days, you forget. You forget. But if you eat it, it becomes your strength. It's nourishment for us. Right? If you listen to a message Sunday morning and come home later on, your wife asks you, would you repeat that? You say, oh, well, what verses did you read? Somehow it's gone. Right. So the Word of God is living.
Amen.
Hebrews, what did it say? The Word of God in chapter 4, Hebrews, is living first. It's alive. It's organic. It's not doctrine, it's not teaching, it's not theology, it's not instructions, telling you what to do. No, it's food. It's living. And number two is what?
Powerful
or operative. Both words. What happens if you eat? You got strength, right? If you're hungry, you don't eat. You're going to fall down. You're going to just faint. But if you eat the Word of God, just like what a prophet says, thy words were found, and I did eat. And in the book of Revelation, why did the Lord tell John to eat? Eat the scroll. Oh, my goodness. Eat this. Try it, Ronnie. Oh, it's good. It's, oh, even though it's Chinese, but it doesn't matter. Just have faith and eat it. You cannot eat it. No. But the living Word of God is edible.
Amen.
And you have to eat it and digest it.
Amen.
It's nourishment. Amen. The Lord says, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. No wonder our Christian life is so weak.
Mm-hmm.
Try not to eat for one day. Are you going to be so powerful, so strong? Oh, okay, 1 week. How about that?
Uh-huh.
It's impossible. And how often a day do you eat? At least 3 meals and snacks in between. Right? What about spiritually? How often do we eat Christ? The Lord said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. He who eats me, he shall live by me. That's the way to live Christ. If you don't eat him, you can't live him. doctrines will not strengthen you to live Christ, but you eat the bread that came down from heaven. You know, when the Lord said that, what happened? Everybody left him. Mm-hmm. How can this man give his flesh for us to eat? They didn't even give the Lord a chance to explain. So they all ran away. Well, how can I eat the flesh of this man? And the Lord says, right, through death and resurrection, right? His word, the words that I've spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So only how many people remain?
Huh?
12. Only 12 remain. What did the Lord say? Oh, praise the Lord, you remain. Did the Lord say that? Huh? Why don't you also go? And what was the answer? What did Peter say? Where shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The bread of life is not for you to study. Did you study the bread this morning for breakfast? Hmm? What about you? You baked a lot of bread, right? You're an expert. Can you imagine? If you give us a loaf of bread and we start to study the bread, I think you'll be offended, right? Would you? Oh, wow! You won't be offended if we just study the bread and put it there. And we don't eat it. I don't think you would ever give us another loaf. It'll be wasted. No, you have to eat it, especially if it's fresh. It's good. It's wonderful. Right in Germany, we always eat fresh Brötchen, right? Wonderful. The Word of God is not just to teach us something.
Yeah.
It's food for us. Learn to eat the Word. But we like to interpret. Peter told us in 2 Peter chapter 1 at the very end, first thing when you come to the prophetic Word of God is no private interpretation. Right. Now eat it. Don't analyze it. Eat it.
Amen.
Eat the Word of God. What does it mean, mingled with faith? Yeah. Why mingle with faith? What is faith? Hebrews chapter 11 give us a very wonderful definition of faith. Faith is believing. Did it say that?
No.
Faith is just accepting it.
No.
What is faith? Faith is the substantiation of the things hoped for, even the evidence of things not seen. So when you eat the Word, what are you expecting? When you eat breakfast this morning, firstly, wow, it tastes good, right? And if it doesn't taste good, if your bread is burned, are you happy? Are you going to eat it? No. You can taste it. Taste and see. Right. In the beginning was the Word. Wonderful, right? The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Is that all? No, you go to verse 14, it says, and the Word became flesh. So the Lord Jesus is the embodiment of the Word of God. It's not a doctrine, it's not a teaching. It is the embodiment of the Word of God. And so in Revelation, what chapter? Chapter 18, 19, I'm sorry, right? His name is what?
The Word of God.
Did you know the Lord has this wonderful name? Have you ever called him? Oh, Word of God.
Amen.
When you come to the Word, you have to come to the Lord, not to the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, yes, that's the book for me. Well, it's just a book? No. His name is the Word of God, because he is the embodiment of the Word of God. Yes, the Word was God, but the Word became flesh.
Amen.
And he becomes our life. So when we take in the Word, I'm not against reading the Bible, okay, please. Don't think I'm against that. No, but you have to realize the Word is alive. And you want to substantiate this in you. Otherwise, just knowing the Bible is not going to change your life. Look at so many pastors. It didn't change their life. Right. So when we take the Word, you want to take in Christ. And Paul gave us a very good way. He says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is what?
The Word of God.
By faith? By means of all prayers. Praying at all times in spirit. The food has to get into your stomach. Otherwise it won't digest. It won't help you if you eat the food or just look at the food and analyze it, and ask your wife, what did you cook? How much did it cost? Where did you buy them? Is it fresh? No. You have to eat it and digest it. The Word of God is not for us to teach and preach. No, it's for us to eat. As food. And Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, by means of all prayers. Long prayers, no need. All prayers is prayers of any kind. Whatever you like to pray, you pray. That's how you mingle it.
Amen.
By faith. Not just believing, okay. In the beginning was the Word. Okay, I believe. Good. Close the Bible. You believe. No, that's not what is to believe. To believe is to substantiate.
Amen.
And you want the evidence of that Word. Lord, I want the reality.
Amen.
Without the reality, what is the good of reading the Bible? Just reading it? And you did your job for the day? One chapter a day. No, you don't eat so much, right? You eat just enough for the breakfast. Right? Eating manna. God is so wise and told the people, just gather enough for what you need during the day. Don't keep it for the next day. What you have eaten yesterday is not good for you today. The Word of God is fresh, is living. It's food for you, for your spiritual life. And we want to substantiate it. Otherwise, it's not useful. You can know a lot of the Bible, but if you don't substantiate what you have read, and it's not how much you read, it is how you read it into you. And having a desire, a hunger. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst. At the end of the Bible, it's eating the tree of life, the fruit from the tree of life. And if you thirst, you drink the water of life. You know, the beginning of the Bible and the end of the Bible is the same. What do you have in the Garden of Eden? And the river of life. Is that enough, really? Enough? You like to eat the same thing every day? What about at the end of the Bible? The last chapter. You have the same thing. God's way never changed, okay? Because it's perfect. It's just right for us. We like to add more, and the Lord warned us, don't add and don't take away. If you add, God is going to add what?
The plagues
to you. So be careful. Do not add the Word of God. And what about if you take away? God is going to take away your portion from the tree of life. Such a wonderful, simple warning. Chapter 1 and chapter 22 of the book of Revelation, first chapter and the last chapter, is the same. Why is our Christian life so complicated? We have to be brought back to the simplicity that is in Christ. That is what Paul says, that Satan's deception is to lure us away from the simplicity that is in Christ. I don't know what to say, really. But a principle you should realize. You eat every day, so why not eat the spiritual food every day? Right? And you eat what you need. We don't have such a big spiritual stomach. No need. Life is very simple. And the Lord gave us such a wonderful food to eat. Right? Actually, it is not hard. Many people say, I don't hear his speaking. No, it is actually very simple. Just tell the Lord, speak to me, Lord. I want to hear you. That's why the Lord told the seven churches in the book of Revelation, he who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches. As long as you have ears, then you can hear. Right? Can you hear me? Well, I can even hear you. Why? Because it's so hard? No, because we have ears. But when the Lord came to this earth, he says, you have eyes and you see not, you have ears, but you hear not. He quoted Isaiah. We shouldn't be like that. It's really not complicated to know the Lord because it pleases God to reveal His Son in us. Amen. You think God tries his best to make it very difficult for you to know Christ. Right? Even a young one, God can speak to you.
Amen.
In the Bible, who is the youngest one who heard God speaking?
Samuel.
How old was he? He was just weaned. And the old
Eli,
the priest, didn't hear anything. And God has to use a little boy, Samuel, to speak to Eli. So, don't say I'm too young to understand
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah. Are you too young? Good. Oh yeah, praise the Lord. Is there someone behind you that's even younger than you? You'll never be too young to listen to the Lord.
Amen.
And as young people, you're not too young to serve God, Emmanuel.
Amen.
You know, one thing I appreciate the Apostle Paul is that he has so many young co-workers.
Yeah.
Very young. And they are apostles. Paul considers them as apostles. Because apostle is not a position. Apostle just simply means one that is sent by God. That's all, a sent one. It's not a position. Just sent one. So, if you're in university, you're an apostle there.
Amen.
Okay? You're sent by God. Not to study whatever courses, of course, that too. But that's just not your major. Your real major in the university is to be an apostle sent by God. Yeah. That's it. Very simple. Praise the Lord. Okay? That's it. So, I would say, have a good appetite.